Hi, this is Annie Fox for Family Confidential, Secrets of Successful Parenting. My guest today is Kari Goldman Siegel, author of the award-winning book, Bullied, What Every Parent, Teacher, and Kid Needs to Know About Ending the Cycle of Fear. Kari also writes an internationally followed blog called Portrait of an Adoption for Chicago Now, which is the online community hosted by the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Kari. Welcome to Family Confidential.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for having me.
You know, usually when you and I talk, we talk about bullying. And today we're going to be talking about social media, which for my money is the biggest unsupervised playground in the universe. And it's unfortunately where a lot of bullying takes place. So I wanted to talk to you today about how parents can introduce kids to social media, at what age, what sites are safer than others, et cetera. So yeah, how can you help parents? It's a really confusing world out there.
It is a confusing world out there. And there are certainly ways to introduce kids to social media incrementally, where you are more involved and side by side with them, as opposed to throwing them out there on their own. So one of the things I recommend is, first, kids should know that you yourself are familiar and comfortable with social media. One of the problems is that there are a lot of adults who are intimidated by social media. And so they give off the sense to their children from the start that this is an area they are uncomfortable with. And one of the things I recommend is, if your child is reaching the age of, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, getting into this, you also join Pinterest. You also join Snapchat. You also join Facebook and all the places where they're probably going to be, the Instagrams, et cetera, so that you know your way around the system and you're not intimidated, and you show them, hey, we can do this together.
Okay, well, let's stop there for a second, because this intimidation thing, sometimes kids feel that they know way more than their parents.
Yes.
And there's the intimidation that you can't really be leading your child because they already know more than you know about it. So how can you help parents kind of ease themselves into this social media age where it's not something we grew up with, but it's like the air our kids breathe?
Social media, I try and tell parents that it is a new forum for the same types of communications. Just as we as kids like to talk and, you know, chat and find out who liked who and who was friends with whom and have the types of conversations you have as you enter your teens, the kids are having those same conversations. They're just using a different forum to have them. And so I say, try and go back to in your mind when you were a teenager and think about how the types of conversations you wanted to have with your friends. This is what's happening now, but on social media. One of the things parents don't realize is that on social media, the conversations become greatly condensed. So what we might have said with a friend over a 30 or 40 minute conversation is getting consolidated down to a sentence or two over a text. And one of the risks in that is that it's ripe for misinterpretations. So when we were kids, we would have a long and rich conversation with the back and forth of eye contact, inflection, facial expressions, and that would all add context to what we were saying. And that helped us relate to our friends. Nowadays, kids, if they try and make a joke or use sarcasm or humor, and you take away the eye contact, the inflection, the richness of the conversation, and you just put a sentence onto a text, there's a lot of room for people to misinterpret what's said. And so kids have more drama around miscommunication than we did. And we have to help our children understand how that happens and why it happens.
Yeah, well, this is really interesting to me, because the idea of communication skills, 85% of what we glean from the people that we talk to comes from these nonverbal clues.
Right.
It comes from body language and tone of voice and, as you say, micro expressions that just flit by in an instant. All of that is gone. And personally, I have a little bit of a worry that this art, this nuanced art of reading other people, is going to be by the wayside. It's on the endangered species list. So as a result of this, you want to be very careful in the way that you talk to your children. Make eye contact when you do it, to let them know that context is everything. And when you are trying to manage your emotions because someone said, you said something about them, and mm-hmm. you're all angry and you've got this keyboard in front of you where you can mm-hmm. lash out at them. Oh, gosh, you've got so many things going on here, Carrie. It's like managing your emotions and then finding a way to use this very limited medium to mm-hmm. actually express what you need to express without hurting anybody.
Well, one of the things I tell kids is because you've lost a lot of that context, mm-hmm. try and add it back in. Make use of, for example, emoticons. If you're sending someone a text and you mean it with humor, go ahead and add the wink or the smiley face to try and help add context back to these shortened forms of communication. Because one of the most common places where kids have unintentional harm that turns into intentional harm is when it starts with a miscommunication. Someone writes something to be sarcastic right. or funny. It offends the other child. As a result, the offended child intentionally writes something hurtful, and you have a huge drama blow up. So when I'm talking to tweens, I tell them, imagine if what you were about to text or write or put on commenting in Facebook, you were going to say, what type of voice would you be using? How can you add emoticons or other things to help put some context around your tweets and your texts and your comments?
That's really important for them to even think about. And I'm sure they mm-hmm. don't until you remind them of that. So, you know, like I'm thinking about this in terms of face-to-face communication where mm-hmm. there seems to be less of it.
Of course. Yes.
So this idea of connection addiction where, mm-hmm. where naturally teens and tweens want to feel very connected to their friends and to find out what's going on. It's like, you know, the next episode of the drama that's 24/7 and who's mm-hmm. with who and who's out and all that stuff. But what ends up happening is that there is no balance. There's no balance between yeah. this online drama and what I would call real life. And real life not only is with your parents and the learning that parents can give about communication and the fuller aspects of communication, but also that opportunity to just dial it back and dial it down and give your brain a rest. So how do you talk about the balance?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. One of the first things I do is try and help kids understand why it's so addictive and how it's addictive.
Yeah,
I actually explain to them how the brain works and that the phone, for example, is a hot stimulus. And so every time you grab your phone and you go to look for something, you're going to get a response. You're going to see a new news feed or a new status update or a new email or text. So it basically you're getting, it's the hot ping of a stimulus response. And because information is coming in so quickly, it's gratifying to your brain. So it creates this addiction. You keep seeking out the new information or seeking out that response because it's there. So you're working against your own brain in terms of trying to control it. So I explain like to my own daughters, I say, this is why you find yourself reaching for a phone or an iPad to constantly check things because your brain is seeking out that stimulus. Then I explain to them that there are ways to try and, you know, regain control, not only to do it, but also why. One of the biggest reasons why is that constantly being online or tweeting or texting is, as you said, exhausting and very draining. And it tends to be so draining that it kids don't sleep enough. You know, they're up late. They can't put that phone down. They want to do one more scan of the newsfeed, one more text. So by getting less sleep, they're actually less capable of dealing with the drama and the social conflict that comes
around. True. Yes.
Yeah. So you're immersing yourself in this drama and you're putting yourself in a position to overreact because you're overtired. And it's a self-perpetuating cycle. So kids should not sleep with a phone in their room. They should
not. Not under the pillow.
No, not in the room. I even find for myself, you know, I get a lot of messages coming in all the time and I'm a 40-year-old adult who understands the dynamics here. And I even have to overnight put my phone to charge in another room out of mind to make sure that I get proper rest. So that's something you have to lay down the law around bedtime that the kids cannot sleep with the phone in the room. It's something they'll fight you on. But interestingly, the kids I talk to who finally do sleep without it find they sleep 10 times better. They're not on high alert waiting for the pace.
So let's talk about this. If you've ever tried to at dinner time, take a phone away from a tween to say, hey, we're having dinner now, put it away. the death grip around the phone is likened to trying to take a drink out of the hand of an alcoholic.
It is.
You know, they're going to push back hard and give you a lot of trouble. And sometimes parents will go, oh, okay, so, all right, just, you know, put it on silent or something. I want to encourage parents to stick with it because all the research shows that even if social media is not the pull away, the kitchen table or the dining room table is a very positive place for families to gather around. And
it's one of the last sacred spots.
I know. And so it needs to be an unplugged zone. Mm-hmm. And yet when we say to kids often, turn that thing off, for kids, it often feels like a punishment. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do, and I'd love to hear you talk about this, is what we can provide in place of the thing that we say to them, leave it.
We have a ritual at our house. There are no phones at the dinner table. There's a basket in the hall. And whether it's you or your friend or whoever it is, it's an absolute. There's no arguing about turn it on or turn it off because it's simply not at the table. But instead, as you said, you have to make the dinner table a place where we talk and communicate. So we have a routine at our house. We go around the table and everybody gets to tell the best part of their day or the worst part of their day, whatever they want to share. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we replace it with a little bit more of a structured conversation so that the kids don't feel at a loss for how to communicate with us. And when I talk with adults about this, it's not just the kids. I cannot tell you how many times I've been out at a meal where the adults next to me are not talking to me at all because they're on their phone. Mm-hmm. And I know that I would have that tendency if I'm not careful. So it's also about modeling. You know, the parents have to model with the kids. Okay, this is hard for us too. Show a little empathy. Show them that we too want to look at our phone. We too want it. My husband too wants to look at the Twitter scores on baseball. But we're all going to make a commitment as a group and as a family to put that aside and talk with each other. So show them that you're in it with them.
That's wonderful. I love that. Of course, modeling is the best way for kids to learn this kind of stuff. And also when they start to easily see the value of relaxing when you put it away and just being there with the people that you're with. There's nothing that beats that. And so that could become, you know, the next thing that feeds in a positive way to encourage the kids. Yeah, you know, we like that dinner time. We like that sacred space, as you say. Let's make sure that we keep it that way because it feels good. And I'm wondering if maybe you have three daughters, don't you?
I have three daughters,
If your daughters, and depending on what age they are, could then become role models for their friends at some point, where their friends get together and all they want to do is text, and one of your daughters says, no, wait a minute, here's an old-fashioned thing, let's just talk.
It's interesting that you say that, Annie, because in the past year, I confronted a situation where kids were coming over to play with my 10-year-old, and really all they were bringing with them like an iPad or something, and they wanted to sit and play video games or something together. Mm-hmm. And that our house for playdates is a no electronic zone. It just is. Okay. It's just, so my daughter was concerned. She said, no one's going to want to come and play here, which was a valid concern. Mm-hmm. So it is more work. But what we've decided is, well, as Peggy Ornstein has said, you fight fun with fun. And so now it is more work. There's no doubt. But when I have playdates at our house, they involve a baking project with me and the kids or, you know, an art project. There's something that is fun and there's not video game playing. There's not iPad usage, but kids still do like coming over here. Amazingly, they love it. They love it. So it hasn't made a difference at all, except in the amount of investment I, as the adult, need to make. And that's something all of the adults we have to confront, that sure, it might be easier to say to the kids, great, play with an iPad. But then there's, you know, there's short-term payoff and long-term payoff. Short-term, it might get them out of your hair. Long-term, you're going to have some of these other issues that we're discussing right now.
Yeah, no, this is great. Okay, well, we're about to wrap up here, Carrie, and I'd love to have you give our parent listeners three tips on how to help kids navigate social media.
Okay. First tip, ask kids to always, always think and pause for just 1 second before they hit publish or enter on any kind of a status. And during that 1 second, ask the kids, if everyone I know ends up reading this, including my parents, how will that affect me? How will I feel?
Good
so just stop for 1 second and think that way. And I actually ask myself these things before I hit publish on my blog, so et cetera. Okay, number two. This is one of the ones that I feel very strongly about. Teach your kids that there's going to be a lot of things you're going to tell them not to do. Don't upload nude pictures. Don't talk about sex with strangers. Don't do all this. But if you do and you get in trouble, come tell me. Okay, I'd rather you come tell me about the mistakes you make online than feel like my disapproval will be so strong that you're afraid to tell me. So communicate that balance of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But if you do this, you can tell me and I will help you. And don't wait until it's so out of control that you feel so lost.
Good.
So that's number two.
Good one.
And the third one that I like to communicate to the kids is that this is supposed to be fun, social media. If you're not having fun, if it starts to feel like a chore or an obligation or you're your own PR person and you're exhausted, step back because you have other places to put your time in your life, in your real life. So use it. And if you're not enjoying it, that should be a sign to you that you're overusing it.
And I would add just one thing to if it's not fun. If you feel like you're being attacked or mentally dragged down by these posts that you're reading, please, please come to a parent and let them know what's going on so you're not suffering in silence.
And I write a lot about all of this in my book on bullying. So, you know, these are topics that are very near and dear to my heart.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kara, for spending time with me today here.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Annie Fox signing off for Family Confidential. And please join me next time when my guest Rosalind Wiseman and I will be talking about kids and video games. Till then, happy parenting!